So today, part two of Breaking Free, we are talking about the truth about lies. I said we're dealing with the truth about lies. You didn't watch my Facebook promotion, did you? I had that on there. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. My bad. All right. I wanted it to feel real ominous and spooky at first. Also catch you guys off guard. Get your notes out because you're going to write some things down. You got a whole front and back. I'm going to keep you guys busy. Keep you busy today. This is going to be a message of truth that is absolutely going to bless you and set you free in the name of Jesus. If you're taking notes, write this down. A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. So even if it's not true, it's a total lie. It's not true about your life. It's not true about you. It's not true about who you are right now. But if you believe it as if it's true, you're going to live it as if it's true. A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. You know, as believers, we have a lot of common lies that the enemy has told us. Simple things like, that's just the way I am, or I'm never going to change, or I'm never going to get over this, or I'm never going to, you know, my past is never going to, you know, leave me alone. I'm always going to have this just hanging over my shoulders, hanging over my head. I'm always going to deal with this, you know. Or because it didn't work out this time, it proves that God can't use me next time. All these different lies, and we're going to get into a lot of these today. All right, but I really wanted to first just dive into the Word of God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Paul says this. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not what? We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with, they're not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have, everybody say this out loud, they have divine power. They have divine power to demolish what? Strongholds. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, what in the world is a stronghold? This sounds ominous, all right? That's why I played that eerie music for you. Strongholds. The word stronghold comes from the Greek word achimora, which it means to fortify a strong castle. What I wrote down, it literally means this. It means a prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. It's someone who is locked by deception. It's believing a lie. And there are so many people who are locked in a prison that is built on a lie. Living a life based on something that is not true in your life. Something that you've been raised to believe, or something because of a mistake or a failure or a problem or a situation that you believe, but it's not true about you. Locked in a prison that's based on a lie. And you know what's crazy about that? Is that the cell door of that jail isn't even locked. It's not actually locked. That's where the deception is. You feel like you're stuck in a prison and that you'll never break out, but there's actually no prison that's locked there. It's just the deception that the enemy has placed, and there's so many people that are living this deception on a regular basis. Too many believers are caught into this deception on a regular basis, all right? It's like this. I was thinking about this, all right? So there's, all right, there are a lot of beautiful women in this world. We've got a church filled with pretty ladies here today, all right? God bless all the beautiful, godly women in this church this morning, all right? But there is a struggle with so many women on how they see themselves. And it doesn't matter. You could tell a lady that she's beautiful 1,000 times, and when she looks in the mirror, she's not going to see beauty. She's going to see ugly. She's going to see imperfections. She's going to see flaws. She's going to see the weight she needs to lose, or the weight she wants to lose, or the problem with her makeup or the clothes that aren't just right. And it doesn't matter what you say to her. You could say it 100,000 times, but for some reason there's a deception in the mind that keeps telling her that she's not beautiful, when we know she's fearfully and wonderfully made, and God made her beautiful, so she's beautiful. And so there are a lot of women who struggle with self-deception when it comes to the physical appearance. Men are the exact opposite. Men think they look good and have no reason to. What is the deal in 2019 with big boys wearing tight pants? If those pants could talk, they'd go, ah! was walking in the mall the other day and just shaking my head. Jesus, what is going on? Come quickly, Lord. There was a service where the pastor was preaching, all right? It was here, all right? It wasn't dad preaching at that time, but it was a pastor preaching, and he was talking about thongs and the inappropriateness in clothing, and he said thongs, and I was sitting there, and there's a guy in the church, and he looked at his wife, and he said, baby, I love you, but the only thongs I ever see on you better be the ones on your toes. Oh, Jesus. Prisoners locked by deception. Write this down. Another definition for the word stronghold is this: living life by something that is not true. Living life believing in something that is not true. And so the enemy has convinced you to believe and live your life based on something that is not true. And what happens is when you do it so long, it becomes habitual. It just becomes a part of how you live. It becomes a part of how you talk. It becomes a part of how you treat people, how you believe people treat you. It starts to frame your perceptions. It starts to frame the way you see the world and how you live your life. It affects your posture. It does everything. Living your life based on something that is not true. Strongholds, they affect us so much, so negatively in so many ways. We'll go through these pretty quickly. I wanted you to write these down because I really wanted to hammer home the point of how negative these strongholds get. And in a moment, we'll get into some specific ones. And then we're going to talk about how to break free from these, all right? And we're going to look at, I will tell you this, we're going to look at some specific things, some general things today. But the next two Sundays, we're going to deal with specific strongholds. Next Sunday, we're dealing with the stronghold of addiction. And I'm just telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, there are going to be some miraculous breakthroughs take place in this service, in this house next Sunday morning. I mean, blow your mind breakthroughs, all right? Whether it's an addiction to a substance or an addiction, we're going to get into that. The Sunday after that is we're dealing with the specific issue, stronghold of finances. And God's going to break, He's going to break you free from some financial situations. Some of you are believing God for some loans to come through, for some loans to be paid off. Some of you are believing God for some raises or for a new job. Some of you are believing for financial breakthroughs. Some of you are believing for homes to sell, or you're believing for a home to buy. Whatever it is that you have that you've been believing God for, on Sunday, September 1st, that first Sunday, the last service of this, or the last series in this message series we're doing, God's going to do something miraculous in your finances that day. We're going to get into some specifics for those, all right? But today we're going to deal with some generic ones, all right? Or general ones, I'd say it that way. But we're going to see some things come break free. How strongholds affect us. Write these down. First, they steal our focus. They steal our focus. You ever had to deal with something in your mind so long it starts to just steal your focus? You feel like you can never break away from it? And you know that you're supposed to be focused on one thing, but your mind keeps going back to the problem. It steals your focus. Next, they cause us to feel controlled. Feel controlled. You feel like it's dominating my life. Why am I so consumed with this? Why can't I get away from this? It's controlling. That's what strongholds do. They consume our emotional energy. Some of you are too tired for what you do in life. It's because you are zapped. It dominates. It drains your energy. And so at the end of the day, instead of just feeling good about the day you've had, maybe it was a hard, productive day and you're just tired from the labor or from the work, from the time. No, you aren't just physically exhausted. You are mentally and emotionally drained. And some of us live every day that way. We live that way. There's a stronghold. They distract us from our purpose, keeping you from doing what God's called you to do. The way God's called you to do it, they distract you. That's what the enemy, his number one tactic is a distraction. And finally, they rob us of that abundant life that God wants to give us. They rob us of abundant life. These are strongholds. They negatively affect us. And this is something that the enemy has come after us. And we're going to look at several different strongholds that may apply in your life. And perhaps maybe these speak to you. If they don't speak to you specifically, maybe they'll speak to somebody else or somebody that you know that you can pray for. But you got space on the back of your notes here. If you want to write some of these down, you can, because this is a message where it's got to hit you right here today, all right? I will tell you this. This is one of those messages that unless you are just unfiltered honest with yourself, you're going to leave here going, well, that was a nice word. But if you get unfiltered honest today, and I mean just brutally honest with where you're going, what you're dealing, you know, with in your life, and you let God really just, I mean, totally just invade your spirit, totally invade all that you got going on. All right, he's God, so he already knows. All right, he's not going to find something in there and go, ooh, what is that? All right? He's not shocked or surprised at what he finds. A lot of times, though, we're clinging on to something that he's been trying for years to break us free from because we've been a prisoner locked by deception. So be honest today. Just choose to be honest right now, all right? A few of these specific strongholds. We'll start with financial. And like I said, we're going to get into this real deep in a couple weeks. Some of you feel like, I just struggle with money, Pastor Josh. Now, let me tell you something. The financial stronghold, the problem is not that you don't have money. The problem with the stronghold is what happens when you get money. Because some of you are like, I got that problem. I need more money, too. No, the problem is when you get money, you're terrible with it. You didn't like that, did you? Oh, when you get a little money, a week later you're going, oh, where'd it go? I know, it's at Applebee's. It's at Target. It went gone, it went fast, all right? A lot of us think to ourselves, why am I never going to find freedom? Why am I never going to break through when it comes to the finances? There's a stronghold there, all right? If that's you, you've got to write this down. My stronghold is financial. Another area that we would deal with, relationships. Relationships. People who say, I'll never have a good relationship. I'll never have a good marriage. I'll never be married. You know, maybe you were burnt. Maybe you had problems, you know. I read a Facebook post the other day, and this lady wrote that, you know, people are so blunt and mean on social media. This lady wrote, if you were my husband, I would poison your coffee. He responded to her. He said, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. I almost liked it. I was like, I better avoid that one. Strongholds, when you've trusted somebody and they've hurt you, and so now you have a hard time trusting anybody ever again. You've been burnt. How many of you have been burnt? I've been burnt. We've all been burnt by somebody, and what happens is it becomes a stronghold if you're not careful and you stop trusting and opening up and loving people the way that you're supposed to because you're worried it's going to happen all over again. If that's you, it's a very real stronghold relationship. Another category, habitual strongholds. In other words, you have developed a habit of addiction of some form of some type of something, all right? It doesn't always have to be all the bad ones, although there are bad ones, pornography, drugs, bad spending habits, all the things that are, you know, very destructive in your life, all right? Part of the problem for a lot of believers is this. The only time we come to God and really use our faith is when we're in a jam. We've become that kid. That kid. The kid that only calls mom and dad when he needs money. Hey, Dad, I need money. I blew it again. Hey, Dad, can you bail me out? And God's up in heaven pulling his checkbook out, and he's like, when are they going to learn? When are they going to learn? I'm a good heavenly father and I'm going to take care of you. But when are they going to learn? We've become that kid. The only time we call out to God is, and it's because of a habitual problem. There's a stronghold there. There's a stronghold there. There's a problem. Now we're living in this deception. God, I promise if you'll come through for me this time, I'll start giving. I'll start tithing next week. I'll start serving. Jesus, I'll be a missionary to Africa for you. And God's like, what? I just want you to go to church more than once a month. I need a duck. Thank God you don't have anything to throw this morning. For some reason, there's just, you know, people who they think to themselves, why do I keep going back to that? Why do I keep looking at that again and again? Why do I keep drinking that again and again? Why do I keep struggling with that again and again? Why do I keep doing this again and again? What is the problem? There's a stronghold. There is a stronghold there, all right? Another one, emotional strongholds. There are people who say, well, I'm just angry. That's just who I am. No, that's a stronghold. I just cuss. That's just the way I was raised. Nope, that's a stronghold. Stop justifying and making an excuse for your bad behavior. making everybody else accept that. That is a stronghold. There's a problem here, right? I'm just overly emotional, my negative perspective, I'm a critical person, I've got a negative outlook on life, all these things, it's just the way I am. And that's a stronghold. You've got an emotional stronghold. Another one, I'd say it would call this a Christian's deal here. This is a spiritual stronghold. These are the people who are on fire for God one day and so lazy the next day, they don't even pray once. You're on fire, raising your hands, singing worship, excited about Jesus, and then a week later, people don't even know if you're saved or not, right? You know what you are? You're the equivalent of Christian fireworks. You blow up, you blow out, make a lot of noise, and then just like that, you're gone, all right? That's a spiritual stronghold, all right? Real faith is applied faith, consistent faith, day after day after day, on the highs and the lows, all right? David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. In other words, there's going to be some really scary days you're going to have to deal with and still be a believer. And trust that God's with you through that process. And if that's you and you're on fire for Jesus one day and the next day you're in the bars, well, guess what? That's a stronghold. That's something that we've got to talk about. That's something that God wants to deal with because that is stealing your focus. It is robbing you of abundant life. It is happening. Another one, the last one I'll deal with for this, and then we'll move on, physical strongholds. And that's the one where the people, you just look at yourself and you think, I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I look. I don't like anything about myself right now. I'd change 1,000 things if I could, all right? Y'all know me. I don't like seafood, but there are a lot of people who do love seafood, all right? They see food, they eat food. And they just go nuts. They can't control it, and they have a problem, all right? And I'll tell you what the problem is, too. It's not just that you don't like the way you look when you see yourself physically. It's because you've compared yourself to so many other people. And some of you have gotten bitter at other people because you think they're better than you, or they look better than you, or they're prettier than you, or they've got better physical than you, whatever it may be. And you get actually mad at other people. You know, I don't like being around people who have hair. You know, I got more hair on my back than I do on my head. So, that's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. And I'm telling you right now, that physical one is a big one. There's a lot of people who struggle with this. And it is a stronghold that God wants to set us free from. You know, a prisoner locked by deception. Locked by deception. I've always wondered this. Is there a bigger insult that you can have to God than to hate yourself? He created you. He loves you. He made you. He designed you. Everything about you, he had in mind when you were born. Everything. And then you hate yourself. What a bigger insult to God. And I think, God, there's so many people struggling. A prisoner locked by deception with how we live our life. Just insecure and beat down and all these different things. What we're going to look at today, we're going to look at a very simple strategy. Are you thankful for simple? This is simple. This is a simple strategy. A lot of people in the church, we start talking about simple, and they think they want complicated. You don't want complicated. You remember complicated? Complicated was the first time you sat in class and they started adding letters to math problems. You don't want complicated. I remember sitting in the eighth grade and I saw her write the letter X down beside like a number, and I was like, that's a letter. And she was like, yes, Mr. Huffman, pay attention. Isn't that a letter? X plus Y, G? I mean, what are we coming up with here? Complicated. And that was in the eighth grade. Dear God, it got way worse. You don't want complicated. You want simple, all right? Because God wants you free. This is a simple Bible-based strategy, all right? Something that's going to help us, something that's going to encourage us, okay? Remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 10. Our weapons that we wage, they're not as the world wages. They're not the world's weapons, okay? They're not of this world. God's weapons have dynamic power. Dynamic power, all right? That word dynamic is from the Greek word dunamis, explosive power. It's not like any other weapon. This isn't self-help. This isn't read a book and get your three steps and then you're okay. No, this is God's word and God's power invading your life, breaking you free. Now listen, God will do his part and provide the power, but you've got to do your part and apply the word. Don't sit there today and just expect God to do everything. He'll do his part, but you've got to walk out of here with a mission. You've got to walk out of here with a mission. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. I'm going to apply this word in my life, and I'm going to fight for my freedom in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to allow the enemy or excuses or any of the problems from my past or the way I was raised or my mommy issues or my daddy issues or whatever it may be. I'm not going to let these hold me back and keep me bound any longer. Jesus came to set us free. You walk in that freedom in the name of Jesus. Three biblical steps that we're going to lay out that's going to help us and through the power of God set us free. Number one is this: we are taking back our thought life. Take back our thought life. Every thought that is inconsistent with God's thoughts about our life, we're rebuking, we're dismissing. We are taking back our thought life. We're not going to allow it one more minute in our brains. Not another moment do we allow those thoughts to destroy, to keep us defeated, to steal our focus, to steal our emotional, our physical energy. We're taking back our thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that is not of God, what do? Demolish. We demolish. We don't play games with it. We don't Google search it to see what it says. We don't text 15 friends and get on Facebook and ask for everybody's thoughts about it. What do? Demolish it. We crush it. We don't play games with it. And every pretension that sets itself against of the knowledge of God. And then what do? We take captive every thought. What do with it? And make it obedient to Christ. We take back our thought life. We're not going to let the enemy own our brains. We're not going to let him have real estate in our minds. Not one more moment, not one more day, not over any reason, not over any problems, not one more time will we allow this to happen. Anything outside of God's truth for our life. And now let me tell you something. The more severe and serious the stronghold, the more serious and intense you've got to be about this. Any thought that is outside of God's truth, we take it captive. We make it prisoner. We own it, okay? We put it in a chokehold and don't let it go. We demolish it, and then we require it, demand it, force it to obey Christ. We command it to in the name of Jesus. Anything that is inconsistent with God's word and how God thinks about us, we take it captive in our minds, all right? So your mind says this: I can't overcome this addiction. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. No, you take that thought and say, yes, I will overcome this addiction because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It works just like that. You start taking back your thoughts. Start taking back your thought life. Instead of dwelling and wondering and Googling and all these different things about all the problems, you take it back. Yes, but I've tried before and it didn't work and I failed, you know. Let me tell you something. If you don't take back your thought life, eventually those sinful thoughts will kill you. If they don't physically kill you, they'll kill your dreams, they'll kill your future, they'll kill your relationships, because the enemy is here for one purpose and one purpose only: to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't physically kill you, he'll emotionally kill you. If he can't physically kill you, he'll try to spiritually kill you. He'll try to paralyze you, he'll try to defeat you, he'll get in your thought life, and you'll kill yourself. You capture these thoughts. You capture these thoughts and make them obey Christ. No, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All right? You start thinking the thoughts of God. I am an overcomer. I have victory. I have because of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for my life. I am an overcomer by the word of my mouth, by the blood of Jesus. All right? You start making these thoughts obey Christ. All right? Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By the way, that first part, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. How does living the world's way, how's that working out for everybody? Not great, right? Let God transform you by changing your thoughts. Changing your thoughts. Listen, if you can think it, you can be it. Do you understand that? If you can think it, you can be it, all right? In order to win, you have got to take back your thought life. You have got to fight for this. That's why the word here is using scripture. The scripture is using words that are physical, all right? Strength. It's about a fight here, right? Taking captive physically. You've got to own this thing. You've got to fight for this thing. You've got to take back your thought life, all right? Listen, you've got to say to yourself, my mind and my thoughts do not belong to the enemy. They belong to God. In the name of Jesus. Think about this. Think about this. A lot of us, we've thought for years, all right, what was it? What is that scripture? Colossians, these aren't in your notes. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are below. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are below. A lot of times we think that just because you're anointed for something or you're called to something in the kingdom of God, that it's automatic. But it's not. See, there's some of you in here today that you are anointed and called by God for wealth, but you're still thinking poverty. You're still thinking lack. There are some of you in here today that you are anointed and called by God for encouragement, for joy, but you know what? You're still thinking depression. You are. You're still trapped in the past. You're still trapped in the mess. There are some of you that you're anointed and called by God for freedom and for strength and for deliverance, but you're still thinking addiction. Yeah. Strongholds that have kept us in. That's why you have to take back every thought. It starts by this. Identify the lie. Identify that lie. Because until you identify that lie and get, like I said before, brutally, unfiltered, honest about where the enemy has hit you hardest. See, here's what happens. You start feeling like I'm made for more. God's got a greater purpose for my life. I'm anointed for wealth. I'm anointed for blessing. I'm anointed for these things. But for some reason, I don't live that. And you end up frustrated because you never learn to think on these things. Think higher and let God renew your mind. You never take back your thoughts. And so all this time, you feel like God wants you to be it, but you never actually become it. It's not going to happen until you learn to take back your thoughts. Identify that lie and then make it obey Jesus in the name of Jesus. All right? Second, you've got to release the right words. Release the right words. So we take back our thought life, and then we start to release the right words. Why is this important? Because Proverbs 18:21 says this. It says, the tongue has the power of what? Life and death. Life and death. It's all in your mouth. It's all in the words that you speak. Life and death. It has the power of life and death. You're either speaking life and victory or death and defeat. And a lot of times we play games. I'll be honest with you, one of my pet peeves right now is the number of people, both on social media and in their everyday just conversation, who joke about sin, who joke about death and defeat. We've turned it into something that's just a joke when it's destroying people's lives. We do. As just a habit. It's just something we've done. I don't understand it because life and death, according to the Word of God, is in the power of your words. And so whenever you start saying things like, it's just a habit, I just say this, Pastor Josh, I don't really mean it, but you start saying things like, gosh, I'm never going to break through this. This is never going to happen. Am I ever going to get this job? I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to meet somebody. I'm never going to. Whenever you say that, the enemy has convinced you to say those things, and you don't think that they're going to happen. You don't think they're going to mean anything. You don't think that what you're saying is actually weighty, or you don't think it's effective. But what you're doing is you're speaking death and defeat into your life every day. Why am I always sick? Oh, my God. Do you not see this? You've got to start releasing the right words. Even things so simple. I'll never quit smoking. I'll never quit smoking. How about instead of I'll never quit smoking, you say, I'm going to quit smoking today in Jesus' name. I think those things, God doesn't want them for me. I don't want them for me. I'm going to quit in Jesus' name. I'm going to be free. I don't want anything that I'm tied to in this life. In Jesus' name. Some of us, it's not, you know, smoking. It's $5 coffee. You can't break free from it. Expensive drinks. Some of us, it's clothes. Some of it's a number of things. And we say, I'm just always going to spend. I'm never going to be this. It's never going to happen for me. And, you know, or God, I hate exercise. I just love Doritos. Did somebody just say amen? He's like, Doritos are not a stronghold. Don't go there, Pastor Josh. Those are blessing manna from heaven. But I will tell you this. There's some of us in here that God has been speaking to us to change our habits and change our health because he wants you living a long, productive, healthy life. And if you're not living that long, you know, you can't live that long, healthy, productive life without doing specific things. And so instead of saying, I hate exercise, it's so stupid, it's so miserable, I hate it so much. Instead of saying that, start saying, I love exercise. I love it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to embrace it because I want to live long. I want to be healthy in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to start. I love exercise, all right? Buns of steel, baby. Here they come. Maybe not that. I'm just telling you, at some point, you've got to change. Was it Psalm 19 that says, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my mind be pleasing to you, O Lord? And that is a question that you and I have to ask ourselves every single day when we take an account of the words we've said and the things we've spoken over ourselves, the thoughts we've had today. Are they pleasing to God? Do they bring life or do they bring death? Do they bring victory or do they bring destruction? I'm serious. You ought to take a moment and really think through all the things that you say every single day. I'm as guilty as everybody else, all right? The things that you say that do not produce life. And make one of those graphs, one of those charts that left side is death, right side is life, and see the difference. And if you've got, you're speaking more doubt and unbelief and death and destruction than you are life, then you need to start changing right away. Right away. We've got to release the right words in the name of Jesus. So we take back our thought life, we release the right words, and third, we replace the lie with God's truth. We replace the lie with God's truth. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the devil comes or the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and you've done everything you can stand. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. He goes on to say to take the shield of faith, which extinguishes all the arrows of the evil one. Then he says, put on that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18, and what? Pray. And pray in the Spirit. When? On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests, be alert. Always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. He's saying, you can't for one moment allow those lies to live there. You've got to immediately replace them with the truth of God's word. Every day you wake up and you put on the full armor of God. Every day you woke up and you say, no, I'm not that angry, resentful, bitter person. That's not who I am. That's who the enemy has lied to me and told me that I was always going to be. But nope, I'm free. I'm free. I have the peace of God, the peace that passes all of understanding in the name of Jesus. I think the right thoughts. I've taken back my thought life. I'm speaking the right words. And anytime the enemy comes in with that lie, I replace the lie with God's truth. You pray. You seek him in the name of Jesus.